Pakistan is finding itself in the middle of two crises. First, Iran was a victim of terrorism recently when 27 of its border guards were assassinated. It is now confirmed that three of the terrorists were Pakistani nationals. Additionally, at least 44 Indian soldiers were killed in the deadliest attack on security forces in Indian-controlled Kashmir in three decades. In this edition of the debate, we will look at whether Pakistan is harboring terrorists and how it plans to prevent terrorist attacks executed by Pakistani terrorists.
Relations between Pakistan and India have hit a new low since a deadly suicide bomb attack ripped through the Indian-controlled Kashmir last week. The blast, for which a Pakistan-based militant group claimed responsibility, killed dozens of Indian paramilitary troopers in the disputed region's Pulwama district. New Delhi has accused Islamabad of harboring the group. It has also threatened to give a crushing response. India's top military commander in Kashmir believes Pakistan's main spy service, the Inter-Services Intelligence Agency, was involved in the deadly assault. Pakistan has condemned the attack and denied any complicity. Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan has warned that in the event of an attack by India, Islamabad would not hesitate to retaliate.
If you think you will carry out some kind of attack on Pakistan, Pakistan will not think about retaliation. Pakistan will retaliate. Pakistan will have no other option but to retaliate and answer.
Separately, in a letter to the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres, Pakistan's Foreign Minister Shah Mahmood Qureshi demanded that India conduct an open and credible investigation into the bombing. He blamed India's threat of using force against Pakistan as the reason behind the deteriorating security situation in Kashmir. Experts believe the situation is backfiring for Pakistan.
Pakistan is also becoming a victim of some of its own, very dubious policies in terms of nurturing takfirists. The people who are being, blamed by the Indian government on this occasion are Jaish-e Mohammed, led by Masood Azhar, who is known to be part of that organization.
Jammu and Kashmir is a disputed region located between India and Pakistan. The two nuclear-armed rivals have fought four wars since their partition in 1947, three of them over Kashmir. Pakistan has also been accused by its western neighbor, Iran, of harboring terrorists who carried out an attack that killed 27 border guards last week. It's hard to predict what 2019 will bring for Pakistan and India. Will there be a pause in violence or increased bloodshed? With the possibility of a military confrontation between India and Pakistan still being a matter of serious concern, the only thing one could say with certainty is that it's never too long before the next violent incident takes place.
Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate from the Executive Intelligence Review, William Jones, joins us from Washington, D.C. And we have professor at Washburn University, Liaghat Ali Khan, who joins us from Topeka, Kansas. I'd like to welcome you both. Liaghat Ali Khan, let me first start with you. The worst attack on Indian soldiers. You're looking at least 47 cumulatively to have been killed last week of these paramilitary police officers in that massive car bomb in Indian-controlled Kashmir. India has accused Pakistan of sheltering and supporting militants that cross into Indian-controlled territory to carry out these attacks. Do you agree?
Well, I don't have any first-hand evidence to confirm or dispute what India is saying, but I have a couple of observations to make. First of all, the line of control, which divides the occupied Kashmirs on both sides, is heavily guarded border between any two nation states in this world. And there are all kind of technology and soldiers and airplanes and drones which are watching the border, because there is fear of infiltration from both sides. So it is not clear that how someone from Pakistan would enter with this kind of huge materials to detonate and actually successfully enter the border and then successfully commit the attack. So it seems very unlikely that the material was transported from Pakistan to India. Now, it is quite possible, and I'm not sure, I don't have any evidence to show it, that Pakistan provided logistical assistance to some local militants who were ready to sacrifice their lives to highlight the atrocities of Indian Army in the occupied Kashmir. So I think that possibility cannot be ruled out. And I think the solution is that India should present evidence, which is credible evidence, to some international institutions. You know, unfortunately, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, and other organizations that, you know, supervise such conflicts, they have been banned from entering Kashmir. So there is no objective, verifiable institution or evidence that could show that this attack was prompted by Pakistan or was heavily assisted by Pakistan. So right now, I think we have simply an allegation against a country, Pakistan, which has a very bad reputation in matters of terrorism.
Okay, let's take a look at what the Pakistani Prime Minister, William Jones, has said in terms of India, that it is targeting Pakistan without an evidence, as our guest there did say. And he posed the question, Imran Khan, why would Pakistan attack India at a time when it's going forward on the path of development? And let me quote him. It says, it is in our interest that nobody from our soil spreads violence, Imran Khan saying. What do you think, William Jones? Do you think that this, again, without evidence and a speculation by our guests, for example, that maybe the intelligence services of Pakistan may have provided intelligence? Again, this is speculation. For, let's say, some militants to commit this act?
Well, let me say the first thing, that a military conflict between Pakistan and India would be a great tragedy, not only for the Indian subcontinent, but also for the whole world. These are both nuclear powers, obviously, and this thing can escalate tremendously. So that any moves on the military side to escalate, I think, would be really the worst possible solution to a problem that there remains to be solved. Historically, of course, there have been ties between parts of the ISI and the terrorists in Kashmir and also other in other places. This may be the case here as well, although many of the observers, as I believe the former speaker here said, was that many of the things that are going on in Kashmir are Kashmir-related and don't need that support from the outside. Nevertheless, an investigation would really be called for, and I think that the Pakistani Prime Minister's suggestion that they are open to cooperating with any kind of investigation the Indian forces want to do. And furthermore, that if there is clear evidence presented of Pakistani elements or elements in Pakistan having been involved in this, he would be prepared to deal with them appropriately. I think furthermore, as he has also said, and as the other speaker, the other guest today had also indicated, that if this would go to the UN, if you had an outside force there to monitor the investigation, to assist in the investigation, you would come up with either the results that there was Pakistani involvement, and then the Prime Minister would have to hold to his word, or that there was no Pakistani involvement and that it was an internal situation, internal forces in Kashmir alone who had carried this thing out, then that would de-escalate the crisis. But the basic thing is, we do not want more military action on the Indian subcontinent at this stage of the game, because that could really blow up the situation in the region as a whole.
Well, on the threat of conflict, again, a reaction that I'd like to get from you, Liaquat Ali Khan, is what Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan has said, that I want to tell the Indian government that we will take action if evidence is found against anyone from Pakistan, but this is not in terms of a military action. More of what the Pakistani Prime Minister has said on this issue. He says, I want to tell the Indian government that we will take action of evidence if evidence is found. And then this question has come about, Liaquat Ali Khan, why the Pakistani Prime Minister did not say anything on this terrorist organization, Jaish-e-Ahd. Is that a question mark that is for you also?
No, it is not, because I think the actionable evidence has to show that Jaish is in fact involved in this attack. I think Mr. Masood, who heads the Jaish, he is notorious in India, and he has been accused of committing terrorist attacks previously also. So I think he's an easy target. So whenever you have a terrorist attack in India, the easy target would be Jaish. And somehow Jaish also wants to claim everything that is happening in India. So just because they say that we have done it doesn't mean that they have done it. They just want to take credit, and they want to their own honor within the country that they are fighting for the Kashmiris. So I think the question, and from a legal viewpoint, I'm a lawyer, so the legal point will be for India to establish that there is indeed a connection, either with the ISI, which will be the worst case, or with some private organization like Jaish in Pakistan, and the government knew that Jaish was, involved in it, either before the attack, after the attack, or if India brings some evidence to it. Then I think Pakistan will be responsible for taking action against Jaish. But just because Jaish claims it, or just because India says that Jaish has done it, I don't think from a legal viewpoint that will be actionable evidence. It will be allegation, but not actionable evidence.
Okay, let me ask you, William Jones, about the threat of war. The rhetoric is kind of pretty heated. Prime Minister Modi said time for dialogue has ended, and it was time for action. And you had Imran Khan then reacting, saying, if you think that you will attack us and we will not think of retaliating, we will retaliate. And this comes when Modi is facing an election later this year.
This is obviously the worst type of situation you can get into, because there is this political pressure on the part of the Indian Prime Minister to move in the direction of action, which he feels would strengthen his support among Hindu nationalists. So that's an element that can't be entirely ignored. Nevertheless, I think it would create a chaotic situation in the region as a whole, which would also have negative consequences for India and for the Indian economy, which is still suffering a lot in this era of some development in the region. And therefore, I think it would have negative consequences in the long term also for India. But if it does occur, of course, the reaction of the Pakistanis will be to meet tit for tat, and that it would lead to a military conflict, either a long or short one, but also with the idea that they both have nuclear weapons and there may be a thrust to use these in order to end this war quickly. So it's a very tenuous situation. I think only it was some kind of negotiated settlement, some kind of investigation that will put forward on the table what actually has happened is the only way that we're going to resolve this situation.
Okay, let's move on to another crisis that has happened, Liaghat Ali Khan, and that is regarding the Jaish al-Ahd attack based on what Iran has said and the responsibility that it has taken on killing the 27 IRGC soldiers. The IRGC has said that the suicide bomber and two other perpetrators of this attack were or are from Pakistan. Iran's intelligence minister saying that it's going to give a firm response to Pakistan on this. So what are we looking at here? Is this a warning that Iran is going to follow through with, which it says that it will, and this is not going to be taken lightly?
Well, I think India-Pakistan is a very different story, and Iran-Pakistan is absolutely, there's no comparison between the two situations. I think Pakistan is indebted to Iranian culture, Iranian language, and there's a lot of soft corner for Iran among people of Pakistan. even though there is some Shia-Sunni conflict which sours the relationship, but I think at the people's level, and even at the level of government, nobody wants to harm Iran. And I can say that for, you know, certainty. But at the same time, there are groups located in Balochistan which are probably sponsored by some foreign countries who are anti-Iran, and they want to harm the Iranian economy, the Iranian people, the Iranian territory, and the Iranian, you know, the guards. So I have no doubt that the Pakistanis who were involved in this terrorist attack against Iran had no support whatsoever from the people of Pakistan, from the government of Pakistan, or from the intelligence agencies. Mm-hmm. I think it is a purely terrorist attack by a group probably sponsored by a foreign country or maybe domestically funded, but not affiliated with the ISI or the government. Now, I think what Iran can do is to pressure Pakistan to find out this group and do something about this group. And I don't think Pakistan is really capable of handling all the terrorists. You should know that Pakistan also suffers terrorist attacks, and thousands of people in cities have been killed by the terrorists. So just because, you know, some terrorist group attacked the Iranian, you know, guards or soldiers, does not mean that Pakistan had the authority or had the power
right
to prevent such attacks. But I agree with Iranian, you know, stance that Iran should put pressure on Pakistan, and this will be a totally justifiable pressure. And I think Pakistan should welcome this, you know, pressure or this, you know, this request that full investigation should be taken with the intelligence of Iran. Who did it? Why they did it? Who sponsored it? And what can be done to eliminate this group so that there are no longer or no more terrorist attacks on the Iranian soil?
William Jones, our guest, Liqad Ali Khan, talks about a foreign country most likely to have funded this group. Would you think it's a foreign country that maybe did $20 billion worth of business dealings just in the past 48 hours in Pakistan?
That's a good possibility. Look, the situation in Pakistan is complicated. The government is officially in charge, but there are all kinds of other groupings, and I'm sure still in the ISI, those that are operating independently with an entirely different agenda, who can mobilize their own elements in operations like this. But we really have to look at the connection to Saudi Arabia. What is the country that has been more vociferous in their reaction to Iran? Are the Saudis. I found it very ironic, in fact, in reading today that the Saudis have said, well, they can mediate this peace between Pakistan and India. But their record in Yemen kind of belies that possibility because of the agenda that they have. So I think the Pakistanis were involved in this, as the other speaker had indicated. Do an investigation, see what they're connected to, see what the groups are, and hopefully the Pakistani government, the prime minister, can act against them. And I must add also that the prime minister is working in a situation which he's not always 100% in control. Remember, in Pakistan, we had a number of assassinations and attempted assassinations of prime ministers because of the division of power among different elements there. But I think that's what you ought to be looking at. Who is behind this, and is there a possible foreign power? And the likely suspect, I think, would be the Saudis because of the close ties that they have with Pakistan, and because of their animosity, because of their animus against the existence of Iran.
You know, this Kashmir issue, Riyad Ali Khan, has been going on for quite some time. And it's just been a bone of contention between the two, Pakistan and India. There have been many solutions that have been proposed, but we got just a couple minutes left to the program. Why can't there be a solution that is economically driven to benefit the people of Kashmir and India? Is there such a possibility? Or what would you propose needs to be done?
Well, I think several, maybe 15, 20 years ago, I wrote an article on the Kashmir dispute in Columbia Journal of International Law. And I actually proposed a solution to the problem. I don't know if it is still workable. I argued that, you know, Jammu and Kashmir was a big, you know, big part, big state, larger than Great Britain. And most of it has been divided between India and Pakistan. But a portion, which is Kashmir, Valley of Kashmir, which is only one-fifth of the whole state, that is predominantly Muslim, and that is under the Indian occupation or Indian control. So my proposal was that maybe the Valley of Kashmir should be made independent, not affiliated to either India or Pakistan. And this can only occur if there's a very strong economic relationship between the two countries. So create an economic market where India, Pakistan, and the people of Kashmir can participate, and free the Valley of Kashmir, which is the hub of the problem, mm-hmm. from both countries, okay. and make it an independent unit.
Sorry to jump in. I got to give William Jones under a minute here. William Jones, the U.S. is on India's side when it comes to the incident that happened. Do you think that the U.S. will be pushing India? Because we know that the U.S. also is involved in talks with settling the situation in Afghanistan. So will it be using India as a means to solve this problem in terms of Afghanistan and as a whole?
Well, obviously the U.S. Position has been very bad because they have kind of given the green light to India to take whatever action it deems necessary in this respect. And I think it shows you that within the Trump administration, perhaps not the president himself, but others there are more interested in conflict in a larger picture to undermine a country like Pakistan, which is allied with China, which they have now officially declared a competitor and possible rival. The solution, ironically, would also lie in this Pakistani relationship with China, because they have this China-Pakistan economic corridor,
right.
and the Chinese prepared to expand that to India. If India would take that, then we could deal with this economic situation with the kind of investment that's necessary to raise the livelihood of the people there and undercut terrorism in that way.
Thank you very much. We're going to have to end it there. From the Executive Intelligence Review, William Jones. And thank you, Professor of Washburn University, Riyad Ali Khan. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. For me, Kavitai, my entire team in the capital of Tehran, it's goodbye.